Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Each episode is a conversation with inspiring people who make wonderful contributions to our knowledge in these areas and spark curiosity and ideas to pursue. Join me, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
Your prospects right now are searching for solutions to their problems. That's the reality. That's the facts. You know, they're buying from somebody. It might just not be you. Okay? And a lot of the time, they're not buying from you because they don't know who you are. So it's not that they don't trust you or anything like that yet. It's they actually don't even know that you exist yet. So getting your profile right, that foundational asset, and let's be clear here, like what we're talking about with the story segue sell and no profile, yes, we're talking about LinkedIn, but you could leverage what you're creating here, put it on Facebook, on your Instagram profile, on your About Us section, use it on there, use it on any of the other web forums that you're part of, any other social media assets that you might have, put it on your speaker kit. Like you could literally utilize all of this information that we're talking about on so many different aspects of your marketing.
Hi there, innovator. It's great to be back with another episode. It's that time of week again. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I trust too that you enjoyed my recent conversations with Anna Sui, Leadership Evolution Coach, and with Christina Nicholson from The Media Maven. I'm really excited to welcome back to the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest today, John Bellamy of Direct Messaging. John's a marketer and a speaker and a specialist in LinkedIn marketing. He's been a direct response marketer for 20 years and has helped thousands of small business owners and corporates with their business lead generation, particularly via LinkedIn. Today, with his direct messaging team, he gets his clients connected to high-value prospects and gets them generating sales conversations that lead to profitable relationships. A quick promotional message from our sponsor. That's me, or more accurately, my business InnovaBiz. We help coaches and consultants build professional credibility, engage their target audience, and connect with their ideal clients. The result is their ideal clients virtually self-select and line up to work with them. To help you get clarity about who your ideal client is and how you can build a strong, enduring relationship with them, take a look at our Marketing Master mini class. It's just two modules, and it will take you less than 30 minutes to work through. It will give you total clarity on your ideal client and how you can communicate with them to build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship. You can even use the exercise to define your ideal audience for a podcast, for a speech, a presentation, or even on LinkedIn. Access the Marketing Master mini class at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. It's completely free and accessible without even giving away your email. In our discussion today, John talked to me about why your LinkedIn profile is the foundation of your LinkedIn marketing and what makes a good profile. He described how focusing on your ideal client and building relationships with them on LinkedIn can lead to business, and we talked about having a repeatable system for marketing on LinkedIn. Without further ado then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from John Bellamy. Hi, I'm your host Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome back to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from Tweed Heads in Australia, John Bellamy of Direct Messaging, who's a marketer and speaker, and he specializes in LinkedIn marketing. Now, John has previously been on the InnovaBuzz podcast way back on episode 19, so that was in the early days. So I'm looking forward to catching up with John and seeing what's changed. So welcome back to the podcast, John.
Thanks for having me, Jürgen. Yes, it's been a huge journey since we originally started way back in the beginning. So I'm really looking forward to sharing it with you and your guest today.
Excellent. Now, it's a great privilege to have you back as my guest again. And you help businesses establish a valuable connection with their ideal prospects and help them drive engagement, increase sales and close more sales. And I know you're really focused on LinkedIn marketing, so I'm looking forward to digging deeper into that. But before we do start talking about all things sales growth and LinkedIn, tell us a little bit about what's changed since the last time you were on the Innova Buzz podcast.
Yeah, I think the big thing that's changed for us is we've really niched down even further with how we go and help people. So, you know, like you mentioned, we do a lot around the LinkedIn space, and primarily we're really helping people just really engage, like get their LinkedIn profiles right, engage with that target market, those niches that they're after, and just helping them with that gap between the leads into their sales process. So that's been the big focus that we've been doing there. And, you know, like all we do now is really offer, you know, LinkedIn services for clients or training products, which is great.
So why LinkedIn?
Well, when I started with it years and years and years ago, it was probably like, you know, everybody else out there, that you started getting hounded by people with an inbox message saying such and such wants to connect with you on LinkedIn. We've all experienced that, you know, just similar to Facebook friend requests and all of those things. And I just, you know, over the years, it was really, really worked well for me in my corporate career. And then I carried that over into my entrepreneurial journey, and it worked, you know, extremely well there. And it just seems to be neglected by so many people out there. So the opportunity for us to really leverage it in our own business, but then help others leverage it in theirs, has been truly amazing. I mean, I get to travel the world speaking and do podcasts like this, and, you know, all the time, and just helping people with their LinkedIn. So it's been great.
So LinkedIn, as you kind of alluded to, has been around for a lot of years, and I remember way back in my corporate days using LinkedIn. But it seems to me to have been changing in the last maybe year or 2 years, sort of to be more focused on small businesses and allowing them to engage with one another rather than a site to post resumes and find potential employees. So how do you see the changes, and what opportunities does that bring?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think business people are now starting to see this as a viable channel, if we put it that way, because you know, quite often I talk about LinkedIn. You know, LinkedIn was created essentially as a place for job seekers to meet employers, and it, you know, when we started using it, it was really about, well, hold on a second, how can we actually use this as a marketing channel to drive engagement with other businesses to get leads? And I think that's slowly been, you know, hopefully because of people like myself and other industry leaders out there that talk about it so often, that businesses are starting to actually go, well, hold on a second, maybe there is something here. And I think more over than that is, you know, there's you know, things like Facebook ads and Google AdWords and all of those types of things, whilst they're still extremely viable, you know, medians and channels out there for advertising, I think that people have started to see their potentially their cost per lead and their cost per acquisition decline on those platforms, or get more expensive. So they're looking for other channels to jump on where they can, you know, get more reach and get more noise and get more face time essentially with their clients.
So how do you use LinkedIn then to grow sales?
Well, for us, it really comes down to two key areas. It's are we working with a client by driving their personal profile? So that way it's getting their profile, their foundational asset being their LinkedIn profile, structured right, and then running more of a direct messaging style campaign where they reach out and send connection requests, and then follow those people up. And obviously the key is not to be spammy on that. Or secondly, using the LinkedIn paid advertising platform where you're more using a paid ad strategy via your LinkedIn company page. And that could be using video ads, image ads, carousel ads, or even sponsored emails, which we quite like in that space as well. And then, you know, occasionally you'll get clients that will want to do both, which is great. But the big thing about LinkedIn, which we love, is, you know, it's where business people are hanging out. Like, they're on LinkedIn, their attitudes to engaging on the platform are completely different to that of a Facebook. They're there to network, they're there to do business. As business owners like you and I, we all have problems and challenges that we need solved. So if we can find a solution provider on the platform easily that can help us out, well, then, you know, it just makes life easier.
Hmm. Yeah, and one of the things I see with Facebook, I mean, they seem to have undergone a couple of transitions. One a little while back when they introduced groups, and groups became a way for businesses to build a community of fans, and there was a lot of value to those, particularly some of the groups I was in, and there probably is still value to those groups today. But what seems to have happened over the last 12 months, I think, is it's just gotten so noisy now. There's people are just dumping so much information on there. Every time I go into Facebook, I struggle to even find, you know, the social posts from my friends or the, you know, the valuable posts from these groups where I might want to get engaged in on, from a business point of view, because there's just so much noise, and then the messages that come through are, you know, somebody wanting to sell me something who I've never heard of before, and something that I'm not even interested in.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that is contributing to people sort of taking another look at LinkedIn if they haven't, you know, if they weren't kind of vested into it before.
Yeah, and I think from that as well, it's sort of like in my view, it sort of goes further as well. Like I spend a lot of time over in the US and speaking over there, and this is no disrespect to Australians or anything like that, but the entrepreneurship in the US, I believe, because it's probably so much more competitive over there, being the amount of, you know, the population size compared to Australia, they're a lot more assertive with their marketing. They're a lot more focused on, if I'm not marketing, if I'm not reaching out, if I'm not having a conversation, then I will not exist next week, next month, next year. Whereas Australia, as we all know, it's sort of like the, oh, she'll be right, mate, we'll get around, you know, and the tall poppy syndrome's quite large. So what does that all have to do with, you know, different platforms and all of that? I mean, we've all been on the platforms where people are, you know, I hate all these marketers, you know, putting stuff out there in front of me. And we see it all the time on LinkedIn now from business owners complaining about, you know, being marketed to. But here's the thing, the reality is, I don't care what business you're in, your number one job in your business is sales and marketing, period. And if you are not out there actively marketing, well, your business is not going to grow. So when that comes down to the platform of choice and how you position that message, that's absolutely critical. And I think this is where the challenges have arisen for many business owners, you know, regardless of the platform they're using, is that they haven't gone back to the fundamentals of going, okay, well, yes, I've got a product or I've got a service, and yes, this is who I believe my target customer is. But they haven't gone back to the fundamentals of, okay, well, what are the psychographics? What are the, you know, what are the things that actually makes those ideal clients tick? Why do they buy? Why are they having that pain? And they haven't tweaked their marketing message to speak to those people in a way that they actually want to be spoken to. And hence why, you know, the results over, you know, from Facebook's side of things, the results for a lot of marketers were diminishing, and they've come over to LinkedIn. And it's not because Facebook's a bad platform or anything like that. It's because, quite frankly, you know, I've got clients who are spending upwards of $50,000-$60,000 a month on Facebook ads right now, and they're crushing it, and they will continue to do so because they understand the marketing message. They understand how they need to get it out for their clients and speak to their clients. But I think for the everyday small business owner, they're still confused around what they should be saying. So they jump from platform to platform to platform, which isn't necessarily the best way to go out there and market, in my opinion.
Hmm. Hmm. No, I think you raise a whole bunch of really important points there. And it's interesting. I recorded a solo episode of my Tales of Marketing Transformation show this morning, and it was all around knowing who your ideal client is and being really clear about your ideal client. And, you know, I opened up with the assertion that most marketing sucks because basically they're just putting noise out into the internet and hoping that somebody's going to see that through all the rest of the noise and take some action. But fact is that they're missing their ideal client. They're not clear about their ideal client, so they're not clear about the message that, you know, their needs and how they can get their message heard by that ideal client. And then if you look at LinkedIn versus Facebook and other platforms or other media, where are you going to find that ideal client? Because not everybody is on LinkedIn or not everybody's on Facebook.
Yeah, 100%. And I think a lot of people think it's easy. It's sort of, I remember back to in my corporate career when I was in recruitment, and then I subsequently ran a recruitment company as my own business. And I use it the same as marketers. People love to hate recruiters. They love to hate on them all the time. They're the most annoying people. How dare they call me constantly, blah, 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 blah. But yet, when they're looking for a new hire, you know, they're the first person that they call on, and then they whinge that, oh, they didn't help me. And I'm like, well, you've been abusing them for how long? And it's the same. It's the same as marketers. And I think this is the challenge for so many people. Like, I am so proud of being a marketing and sales guy. Like, I'm so, it is the like next to being able to speak publicly, it is the next biggest thing. And I think so many people are, this person has just got some marketing skills or whatever. But like I said earlier, nothing actually happens. You can have the best idea on the planet, but unless you have a solid marketing and sales strategy behind that, no one's even going to know about it. And like you said before, regardless of the platform, and this is where I think most business owners are struggling right now, is that they're lazy marketers. And they, you know, we've all been there. We've all done that. We go to a social media event or something like that, and someone spews information out at us, and then we go, great, okay, well, now I need to do all of these things.
Yeah.
Instead of going, well, hold on a second, all of those platforms, great, they're just different channels that I could potentially, you know, put my brand on, put my message on. But where exactly are my clients, my ideal future clients, actually hanging out? You know, it could very well be Facebook. It could be Yellow Pages. You know, it could be direct mail, or it could be LinkedIn. And that's what we're focused on, is that LinkedIn vehicle. We're like, okay, we know your clients are here. How can we put the best strategy in place that's going to consistently need it to be tested and measured and tweaked in order to get you some cut through, in order to get you some more connections, in order to start generating some conversations, in order to position you with a bit of authority status, so that you can go and have some sales conversations and close deals? Because, you know, that's what it's all about at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the things you said in, I think it was a recent podcast interview or might have been a video on your website, is that on LinkedIn, I think they promote themselves even as a B2B platform. And you point out that actually human to human would be a better way to put it. And I'm really strong on the aspect of, let's make marketing a little bit more human again, because at the end of the day, it's people doing business with people. And, you know, I see marketing, I mean, there's a whole lot to marketing, but I see it as fundamentally building a relationship with the people that you can help. And as a marketer, you know, I like what you said earlier, but I see as a marketer that, you know, you have a responsibility to market your own businesses and your own services, because there are people out there that need that help. And there are people out there who can only be helped by you because they're a perfect match. You know, you're the best person to help them. There might be other people that have the skills and expertise, but you're actually the perfect match because of, you know, values alignment and personality alignment and whatever it may be, you know, some sort of level of magic or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it's really up to you to get out there and market, but not to just broadcast messages into the world, to really find that human connection with the person that you can help.
Yeah, I mean, I talk about it all the time, Jürgen. It's like, if I don't get out of my own way And if I don't care enough about my ideal clients that I'm willing to go and speak to them, and you know what? Some of them are going to get a bit annoyed, tell me to, you know, go jump or whatever. But if I'm not doing whatever I can to go to that market where I know that they probably have the problem or challenge that I can solve, I'm just being selfish and I really don't care about them. And I think that's the big mindset shift for a lot of people to worry about. And taking it further on that end, you know, it's, I don't care if people say no. Like if people tell me no, that's like the next best thing to a yes. Because I don't know, like if they're not ready to buy right now, fantastic. I don't need to invest any more time or energy or effort in speaking to that prospect right now because they're, for whatever reason, they're not going to buy my product or service. But the big challenge is for so many small businesses out there is that they focus, their pipelines are just not managed well, but they focus so much attention on the people who say maybe, oh, they've promised they're going to close next week. Oh, they're almost there. They're just going to be around the line. No, and this is me coming from, you know, direct response marketer background. It's quite simple. Do you have this problem? I have a solution that you might like. Do you want to buy it? You know, it doesn't need to be really any harder than that. And in the most respectful manner as possible, obviously.
I mean, we overcomplicate it and we make a no mean personal rejection. You know, they don't like me, or they don't think that what I've got is actually any good. Or, you know, on the other hand of the equation, if I'm the person being marketed to and I say no, I'm hesitant to actually say no, it's not for me right now because I don't want to hurt the other person's feelings. So there's kind of the two sides of that equation. I really like what Ian Altman a while ago said on our podcast, you know, and his whole philosophy is around same side selling. So actually, you know, you and the customer are actually trying to achieve the same thing. And if you have a match to his needs and you get on well, then you can move ahead. If they say no, well, then that's fine too, because that's their choice, and there's no need to take it personally, or there's no need for them to feel bad either about saying no. You just sort of move on and get your stuff done.
Yeah, and you know that there's, like, let's be honest, there's enough business out there for every single one of us to, you know, live extremely comfortably if we want it. Just got to go and do it.
I can't remember who said this to me. It was on a recent conversation I had, I think, on the podcast, and we were talking about niching, and that they said, you know, the saying, you're one in a million. Well, there's 6.5, is it, billion, the total population of the world.
Something like
so one in a million says there's actually 6,500 like you. And if you niche right down into people who would like to work with you, there's 6,500 people probably. Yeah. And so looking at that as a statistic, that's going to provide you with pretty good business.
You'll be okay. You won't be hungry.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's really interesting. And like, if we talk about that niching side of things at the moment, like I always, and this relative to LinkedIn as well, is, and well, pretty much any form of marketing, we always talk about the macro, micro, and then personal approach. And you know, you can cast the net. You know, macro might be, I want business owners, you know, in Sydney, for example, who have been in business for more than 5 years at that same company. You know, that could be the macro approach, and we're not even looking at industries or anything. And then micro, we might look at that, but then go down to, okay, I only want to work on those ones who have been in the accountancy industry for those periods of times, and the principles of the business, et cetera. And then the personal side of things, you know, is really taking it down further, you know, where they've, you know, they're using this solution, or they're using this platform that I can really focus on. And I know that they've invested, you know, $5,000 a month on marketing, you know, so it's just different ways that we as business owners can go and leverage and go and speak to those people. And the beautiful thing is you can pretty much get to that type of level of targeting on LinkedIn using Sales Navigator, which is great.
Hmm. So do you actually need Sales Navigator to kind of use LinkedIn as a prospecting tool, if you like, what you were describing?
Yeah, so in my opinion, if you're looking to use and leverage LinkedIn for commercial gain, i.e. you're looking to make money off the platform, without a doubt, invest in Sales Navigator. I mean, it's $100 a month, Australian. And the reason why you would want to invest, make that investment, of course, you're going to get more targeted. So you're actually going to be able to pinpoint pretty accurately. It's not a perfect science by all means, but pretty accurately, you're going to be able to pinpoint and reach out to those ideal future clients, those prospects that you actually want to speak to. But more importantly to that, in my opinion, is that you're going to just save so much dead time in connecting with the wrong people. If we look at the numbers behind it at the moment, like if I look at all of our done for you clients, on average, the cost of a connection, so actually getting somebody to accept the connection request, typically averages somewhere between sort of $5.60 through to about $18. Okay, so we're already, if you look at it from a numbers perspective, we're already upwards of, $20 in just to get that connection. So if you multiply that $20 each time you do it, if we look at the top end, $20 each time we do it, and we're not using a Sales Navigator, we're just sending connection requests, we've got a lot of wasted money out there. So using Sales Navigator, if we can really pinpoint it and go, okay, well, you know what, I only connected with 300 people this month, or 100 people, or 50 people this month, whatever it might be, but I know they're solid. If I use another example, it's like going to a networking event. I think I mentioned before accountants. So, for example, we could go to any sort of chamber of commerce networking function pretty much anywhere on the planet. I'm pretty confident about this. And there'd be a pretty strong likelihood that there would be at least one, but more likely 3 to 5 accountants in that chamber of commerce environment. Any one of those events you can go to, pretty much guarantee that. Now, we could do that every month or every week and go to all these different chamber of commerce events and try and connect with these accountants. But you've also got probably another 30 or 40 people going to those events that definitely aren't your target market. So there's a lot of people don't think about it, but there's the time, there's the ticket cost to go to the event, there's the time cost, there's fuel, time away from family, all of that type of thing. Or alternatively, we could go and sponsor an accountancy conference where they might have 1,000 to 2,000 accountants in that room. Yes, is that going to cost us more in an initial outlay? Of course it will, but we're concentrating our efforts to get in front of those leads. So your cost per lead is actually going to be quite, reduced when you start speaking to those people. And this is what Sales Navigator gives you the ability to do, is just really laser in and focus in on who you want to connect with.
Hmm. Okay. Now, let's say you identify a target niche that you do want to connect with, and you use Sales Navigator to identify a bunch of potential leads. What's the next step? How do you reach out to them?
Yeah, cool. So most people we speak with, most people are comfortable in sending a connection request. So they understand that, okay, I found this person, I need to, hit the blue connect button. Where many people fall over is how they hit that blue connect button and what they say. So number one is don't just hit the blue connect button, personalize the message. And this is once again coming into the macro micro personalization perspective. It doesn't, when I say personalize it, it doesn't necessarily need to be 1,000% laser focused on, hi Mary, I saw that you wrote this article and you work at this company, I would love to connect. It doesn't need to be that focused, but it could be from more of a micro level where it's like, hi Mary, John here, listen, I noticed you work in an accountancy business or you own an accountancy firm. I wanted to reach out and connect with you because of XYZ. So you're actually giving them a reason why. But this is the way I look at it, and there's a gazillion different schools of thoughts here. I want to be able to, for at least 80 to 85% of the time when I'm sending a connection request, I would ideally like to be able to template that so I can copy and paste it, or ideally my team, copy and paste that and insert their first name. So we can get a bit of a system happening here, a repeatable system. which is efficient. You know, it's innovative. It's timely because we want to, you know, speak to as many of our ideal target market as we can. So typically, like, to give you a scenario on that, we typically would send about 300 connection requests a week, hyper-targeted though. And, you know, we look at getting, if we look at our client base, we look at getting a minimum acceptance rate on average across our client base of 30%. We've got clients that are, you know, hitting upwards of about 86% acceptance rate. We've got clients that are sitting at about 22%, just depending on the market that we're going after and all of that. But yeah, as a minimum benchmark for you, you know, everyone listening, I'd be going at minimum 30%. So for every 100, if we can get 30 acceptances, fantastic. And that's within a week. You know, if we can get 30 people to accept within that week, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, so, that's the start of the journey, you know. That's the very beginning. Yeah.
So, yeah, so if somebody then, well, I mean, I think it's really great advice to actually have something on the connection requests, because one of the things that I find really curious is if people have just hit that connect with me button and then I've got to go and have a look at who is this person and why should I want to connect with them, because they haven't given me a reason. They haven't even had the courtesy to say anything, which, you know, if you translate that into a real life world, it's like somebody coming up to you and saying, I want to shake your hand, but I'm not going to tell you who I am.
I'm not going to tell you why.
I say hello.
Bit creepy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, that's kind of funny. So once they connect, what do you recommend as the next step?
Yeah, so this is where...
So not selling them something straight away,
Just, so, hey, I've buy my stuff. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but give me a credit card. You got a credit card in a heartbeat? Let's go. No. So I think this is where, like, I remember I was in San Diego speaking recently, and I asked these questions because these always come up. We're like, you know, how many of you, you know, are open to sending or accepting a connection request on LinkedIn? And, you know, pretty much 99% of people's hands go up in the room, and then we go, great. How many of you, once you connect with somebody, actually follow up and send them something, you know, and it drops down to less than 10%. So now I can go get angry and all of that about people going, what are you doing? But what are you missing out on? But what I think the opportunity is here is knowing that less than 10% of people are actually following up with people, which is the normal statistics anyway. No one follows up. You have a huge opportunity here to get ahead of your competitors. Huge opportunity here. So when it comes to that message, well, there's a gazillion schools of thoughts. What you shouldn't do is go, and I'm going to pick on the SEO companies here, is to go, hi, great to connect. I am the, you know, the number one SEO company and we guarantee first page results. Would you like to buy my stuff? It's just, I mean, it must work to some degree or else they wouldn't consistently send that message. But it's not a great starting point. So what we recommend is really to thank that person for connecting. So we'd usually send a message out that would be like, you know, hey, Mary, great to connect with you here on LinkedIn. And then this is where, depending on the client, this is where it would change. A lot of the time we suggest, you know, leverage video. Video is huge right now. So it might be, hey, you know, great to connect with you, Mary. Looking forward to learning more about you. In the meantime, I recorded this quick video that, you know, as a thank you for connecting. It shares a little bit more about me and what I'm looking to achieve for our newfound relationship here on LinkedIn. You know, click here and check it out. And if you're targeted enough, you're able to record a video that doesn't need to say their name or anything like that. So that's definitely one way to leverage it. From our aspect, and this is what, like, my message currently in our LinkedIn campaigns, it's hey, great to connect with you. I'm curious, based on my profile and skill set, you know, how do you think I could be of benefit to you in the coming weeks and months? And the reason I ask that is because I want them to go back to my profile and actually read it and go, oh, this is what John does. And I can tell you what, the amount of responses we get from that message, positively, negatively, is huge. We get so many people that come back and John, well, the reason I accepted was because, yeah, I'm new to LinkedIn. I really don't know what I'm doing on here. Do you have any resources that you can send me? Or can we have a chat about, you know, LinkedIn marketing? And then on the flip side, we will get people that will go, well, I don't know, you sent me the connection request. It's, you know, why are you why are you asking me how I can get benefit from you? So you get all of these mixed responses. But it's a great way to start segmenting your database, to identify really quickly who's actually got an interest, who's engaging in my message, who's active on this platform, so I can start to, once again, tailor down further and go, okay, who are these people that we should go and follow up further?
Yeah, that's great advice. You've given me an idea there with the video. That's really good. What I typically do is if I connect newly with a person, I'll send them a thank you, and I'll say, you know, you might like to check out my InnovaBuzz podcast. That's what I basically say to them, the first thing, because I've got all these wonderful guests every week that share a whole lot of expertise in a whole range of different areas, so you might find something you like there. Yeah. So that's the first thing, and it kind of gives them something that, you know, there's no pressure for them to do anything, to buy anything. It's just go have a look at the podcast. If there's something there that's interesting, then, you know, you can go and listen because it's free.
Yeah, one of my US clients in the States, he runs a pretty big real estate podcast over there, and that's exactly what we've done with his thank you message. It's driving, well, we drive them actually to a landing page where he records a video, and he's just like, hey guys, you know, this is who I am. Thanks again. You know, thanks so much for tuning in, connecting with me on LinkedIn. You know, listen, I've got this podcast that you might want to go and check out. Up to you whether you do, and we just link it out. But the reason why, you know, and this is the cheeky marketer in me, the reason why we want to throw them to or send somebody to a landing page as well off LinkedIn is because we can put these things called pixels on there. So if you're looking at doing any form of remarketing via Facebook, via Google Ads Network, whatever it might be, LinkedIn, you know, the minute we get them on those landing pages, we can look at ways that we can go and repixel and remarket to that traffic externally from LinkedIn. So this is where, and this is why, one of the big reasons why I love LinkedIn is it forms a really good, you know, solid piece of your cross-channel marketing strategy.
So now I know you use Infusionsoft in terms of your CRM system and automated emails and so on. At what point do you put those people that you've connected with on LinkedIn into Infusionsoft?
Yeah.
And is there a connection? Do you have it sort of connected automatically?
Yeah, so the way we run it, you know, and this is the way we choose to run it, is probably different to many. So if we focus on the LinkedIn aspect for a moment, typically we'll run a 3-5-part follow-up strategy over the space of about 45 to 60 days. And the intention behind that is to segment those LinkedIn connections. So we're looking for people who engage with our messages and would like to, you know, receive either some free stuff, have a phone call with us, whatever that might be, share a case study. So anytime that somebody positively engages with those messages, we will then transition them back into Infusionsoft. So for example, a lot of the marketing we're doing for our clients at the moment is sharing a case study or a report. So we literally, the message on LinkedIn would say, hey, we've put this case study or report together. It talks about XYZ. You know, if you're open to it, I'd love to share it with you. Just hit reply with your best email address and we'll get that over to you. So that works quite effectively from that aspect. And then once we get their email address, then we trigger the campaign inside of Infusionsoft. As far as what do we do in our business with all of the data, rightly or wrongly, we will import all of that data into our Infusionsoft application. And it's not necessarily so that we go and broadcast email messages to all of those people, but we want to pull that data in there so we've actually got a good CRM system. And then when we're looking at our other marketing channels, that's a way that we can start leveraging that data. So we will get a data miner and start to fatten out that information and get a bit more data intelligence behind those companies and those people that we've connected with from that regard. And we will do it. We will typically do a transitional message from people like, hey, we recently connected on LinkedIn. I just wanted to touch base via email. This is what we're about. If you'd like to find out more, you know, here's some stuff from that aspect. So that's the way that we use it. As far as tools to integrate that data, Zapier has an integration where you can, if you export your connections from LinkedIn into, like, for example, a Google Doc, You can then push that data via a Zap into your Infusionsoft account. We actually typically will manually import. So our team will manually import the data about three times a week into our accounts and our clients' accounts from that aspect, because we just find, as much as the Zappy is a great product, we've just found that sometimes there's lines of data that get missed. So we'll just, you know, we've actually got a team member where for pretty much 2 hours a day, every day, she's just literally importing data into ours and our clients' apps from triggering. And we've just found the cost, you know, the investment in cost and time to get that individual to do that versus the cost and time in that technology for right now, we actually get more accurate data feeds. So that's what we're using right now. I tell you what, it'd be amazing if there was a platform. There is a definite need in the marketplace, and hopefully it seems to be that since Microsoft has acquired LinkedIn, it seems to be that they're slowly opening up the platform to a few more things and opportunities there. It is slowly moving that way, but it'll be interesting to see if we can get a direct feed. Platforms like Salesforce and that had a direct feed from Sales Navigator. But you know, once again, it just depends on how you're using that from a client perspective.
Mm. Now, you mentioned earlier that one of the things you do in the first response back when somebody connects with you is kind of give them a reason to go and check out your LinkedIn profile. And I know, you know, one of the things that you point out in all of your material on the website, and that a good LinkedIn profile is kind of the fundamental starting point of making LinkedIn work for you. So what does make a good LinkedIn profile in your view?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your profile is, number one, your foundational asset on LinkedIn. So there's a bunch of things that you want to look at. If I just talk about the five key ones right now, very first thing is your profile photo and banner image. So what I'm talking about there is like literally your profile photo and then the image that comes above that on LinkedIn. So once again, most people have got a profile photo now, whether it's doing their brand justice or not. Well, that's, you know, that's arguable. But there's a couple of key things there that you like. Go to snapper.com or your photographer and invest $100 or $300 and actually get some social media shots done for you, because you're going to be able to leverage them off, you know, off LinkedIn as well, on Facebook and all your other channels or any other marketing resources. So you definitely want to invest in getting a good profile photo. Your banner image up the top there, if you don't have anything there, LinkedIn puts like a little filler image in there, which is sort of like a blue with a bit of a grainy line and things like that on there. So this is, I want you to think about this, and this is marketing hat on, this is literally vacant real estate at the top of the top. It's like the masthead. It's like the headline of a newspaper. It's like leaving a newspaper headline blank. Like, why would you? Or a sales letter with no headline. So if you think of it from the banner image, a couple of different ways you could leverage that. Number one, it could just be a solid color and re-supporting your brand. Maybe it's just your brand logo on there. Number two, it could just be a solid color with the words something like specializing in, and then maybe three bullet points of what you specialize in. Number three, it could be you know, a combination of your brand plus specializing in, or number four, it could be another way. Like if I take mine, for example, I speak quite often, so it's a picture of me speaking on stage just to re-support what that is. Now, there's no right or wrong on which one works better or not. You just got to test which one's going to gel with your audience from that aspect. So those two things, you know, before you even do anything else, you really got to have that profile photo and the banner right. From there into the second big thing is your headline. Now, if you don't update your headline, LinkedIn will automatically pre-fill this with essentially your job title and the current company that you work in. So why would you want to, you know, edit that yourself? Well, once again, it's right up the top of your LinkedIn profile. The very first thing that people see on anyone's LinkedIn profile is their photo, their background banner, and their headline. And we all know our attention spans are pretty short nowadays, just with the amount of stuff going on in our lives. So people are going to, regardless if people say they do or not, people are going to look at your photo and they're going to go, do I like this person? Do I think they're trustworthy or not? There's always that emotional connection around the look side of things. And then from there, it's the headline. So the best way as a starting point, if you're just starting out, to write a headline is think back to like those networking events like Business Networks International, BNI, and meetups and all of those things. Whereas if you can put in a headline that's something as simple as, I help insert target market solve insert challenge, you know, or I help insert target market achieve insert result. That's just a very simple way for you to get your headline up and running. And if you get those couple of things done, so there's just 2 points. If we get those couple of things done, you know, you're moving in the right direction. From there, we need to go into our background summary. So this is, if you think of it, I think LinkedIn have actually recently updated it to call it about you or about us. So it used to be called summary. So this is where most people will literally leave it blank, put one line, or even go to their website and just copy and paste the about us section of their website and throw it in there. All of those things, you're missing out on a huge opportunity. And more importantly, most people aren't doing this. So it's a great way for you to get ahead of your competition. So what I'd recommend there is, this is literally a mini sales letter. You've got up to 2,000 characters to get your point across. And we recommend a framework which is story, segue, sell. Okay, so we recommend like a direct response copywriting framework. So the story is like a headline and then a story angle. Hey, maybe you've been thinking about innovating for a while now, but you just keep getting lost because there is so many, like, lost with what project should we focus on right now? Where are we going to invest our resources, our time, our money? And which one's actually going to give us the biggest return for our investment? You know, hey, you know, I understand most people have got the same thing. So we start with that story angle. Then we segue into who you are. So this is like the know, like, trust factor. So this is where, you know, hey, it's John here. I've been in the business for X amount of years now. You know, over that time, we've worked with X amount of clients and helped them to achieve this results. So we're starting to share a bit of social proof. In fact, you know, here's what our clients say about us. Testimonial 1, 2, 3. So we've segued into who you are, what's your credibility status, how you can help people. And then finally, we go into the sell component, where it's literally a couple of lines. And when I say the sell component, I'm not saying give me your credit card. It's selling the reasons why someone would want to connect with you. So it's just reiterating. So if you've got this problem or challenge and you would like, you know, and you'd like to learn how to solve that, well, then connect with me here on LinkedIn, engage with my content, and hey, if you're open to having a chat, why not do that as well? So it's a very structured process to tie in that process. Following from there, so we've spoken about your profile photo, we've spoken about your headline, your background summary. Now we're starting to get into like your experience section, so your current business or what you do in your current occupation. And follow a similar model to what we just spoke about, that story, segue, sell, but you talk more about the business in that regard. And then finally, just think about, you know, a lot of us have heard of SEO or, you know, or search engine optimization. Just think about what are the keywords and phrases that your target audience is searching for, or what are the keywords and phrases that they use to describe their problems and challenges. Because this is really, and you want to litter those through your LinkedIn profile, because it's just going to help you get not only ranked better, but it's going to speak to your target audience a lot better, which will improve your acceptance rate when sending connection requests.
Yeah, well, that's pretty comprehensive. And I guess the key thing there is to present the information in a way that engages with the audience. It's not just about me, it's about here's the issue. If you're facing that issue as well, then you might want to read on. And then at some point there's a call to action, which isn't a sell, as you pointed out, in terms of buy my stuff, but it's reach out and connect and we can have a conversation or we can continue the conversation
exactly. I mean, the whole outcome, if we're looking for a result from your LinkedIn profile, the entire result of your LinkedIn profile is to get somebody to either accept your connection request or hit the blue connect button and send you a connection request. That's like from an outcome perspective, that's what the profile is designed to do. And then from second, like it is a primary outcome, secondary outcomes and all of that is to, you know, position you with a bit of authority status, you know, and that's really important. And here's the thing, and this is why, you know, this is why I harp on about the LinkedIn profile and being a foundational asset, you know, every day, is because your prospects right now are searching for solutions to their problems. That's the reality. That's the facts. You know, they're buying from somebody. It might just not be you. Okay.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time they're not buying from you because they don't know who you are. So it's not that they don't trust you or anything like that yet. It's they actually don't even know that you exist yet. So getting your profile right, that foundational asset, and let's be clear here, like what we're talking about with the story segue sell and no profile, yes, we're talking about LinkedIn, but you could leverage what you're creating here, put it on Facebook, on your Instagram profile, on your About Us section, use it on there, use it on any of the other web forums that you're part of, any other social media assets that you might have, put it on your speaker kit. Like you could literally utilize all of this information that we're talking about on so many different aspects of your marketing. The next trade show you go to, you tweak it slightly and put it on there with a pamphlet about you and your organization and how you help. Put it in an email. Send it to your database. Like it's you're being able to leverage this so much further than LinkedIn. And I think this is where so many people, they get confused and they go, oh my God, we've got so much stuff to do around marketing. And let's be honest, you do. Like there's no, you know, you absolutely do. But if you can get in the mindset of okay, if I can create this one thing and I know that the bulk of it, 80, 85% of that one thing, that profile that I'm creating, is going to be able to be leveraged on multiple channels with very limited tweaking or no tweaking at all, then that's really exciting.
That's right, yeah. Of course, that speaks a little bit to the whole principle of repurposing what you've put together in all the different channels, which I think is something that is an underutilized and underappreciated kind of little secret trick to any content marketing.
100%.
All right, John, I could go on talking LinkedIn and marketing to your ideal client for ages, but I'm looking at the time here and I think it's probably time we moved on to the buzz, which is our innovation round, designed to help our audience who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field with some tips from your experience. So I've got 5 short questions. Hopefully you'll give us some really insightful answers that'll inspire everyone to help them do something awesome. And they are the same questions that we asked way back in episode 19, was it, that you were on?
I think it was 19, back.
So, so we'll check to see whether you give us the same answer or whether things have changed. So what's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
I think the number one thing is to actually be curious, to have an open mind and be curious and go, what, you know, ask that question, what can we innovate? Because I think so many of us are closed off.
Yeah, that's true, and kind of take the approach we've always done it this way. So
yes, I think it's. I mean, it sounds so stupid. I'll just be curious, but it's actually quite powerful. Like if they just go, okay, well, hold on a second. There's always ways that we can improve things, whatever that might mean. So, like, I'm curious. What you know, if we could improve something, what could it be?
And how could this work better?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
Best thing I've done is actually really listen to the marketplace. And I remember way back when I first got it started with LinkedIn marketing, for example, it was all about online training. No one wanted to pay for Done For You, or at least the people I was speaking to. No one wanted to pay for Done For You. And then a few years back, it actually tweaked. And I was listening to the market, and I was going, hold on a second, we've got all these people in my online program, but they're not doing anything. They're not implementing. So I asked them, I'm like, guys, what's going on? Like, tell me why, what, like, you know, you've invested money. And it was actually, it really annoyed me. I'm like, you've invested money in my course and the ego's come in and you haven't done anything with it. Are you telling me I'm crap? You know, what's going on here? And they were like, John, we just don't have time. So we went, okay, well, what if we could work out a way that we could, it's going to cost you more money, but we could do a lot of this grunt work for you. And that's what started, you know, our direct messaging business, which is the Done For You marketing solution. And that's what's grown that quite well. It's just, and it was just literally listening to the market and going, okay, well, what do you want now? And it's sort of swinging around back to the training scenario at the moment as well. With the economy over the last couple of years, a lot of people are going, oh, we just don't have the budget for that right now. We understand its importance, but we'd rather just try and resource it internally. So, you know, we're swinging back to, we've still got our Done For You, but we're swinging back to online programs.
Yeah, yeah. All right, that's great advice. I like the model of, you know, having the online training program or training program that is kind of one to many and done once and updated regularly, and then build a community around that, and then a small group of that audience would probably go for the Done For You package. But at the same time, you're also helping those people, like you said, that may not have the budget to pay for you to do everything. All right. Now, apart from LinkedIn, what's one of the resources you use most often?
Infusionsoft. We're in there every day. I feel so many businesses are underutilizing their marketing and CRM software. In fact, most of them probably don't actually have a CRM component. What I learned very early on from my corporate career is the value of your business long term is in the accurate data that you keep, and being able to essentially have that contact journey, whether they end up being a client or not, but being able to, we've got a database, we've got data that we own, it's updated, we can look at that. It's super amazing. That's what we love is Infusionsoft. And off the back of that is going, you know, how can we improve productivity from that is been great. Like, how can we do that? How can we track? How can we, I've probably mentioned it four or five times in today's call is, everything we do, we go, okay, well, if we're creating something, how can we create it so that, you know, it can fit, or we can leverage it 80-85% of the time unedited. So can we create something, and then, you know, is that something that we can go and push into our clients' accounts to make them and to help them be more productive, or to help them ease with the copywriting? So yeah, I love the platform. I think we massively underutilize our CRMs in general in business.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of people have CRM systems like Infusionsoft, and they pay, because they're not cheap. There's fairly significant monthly cost to it, depending on the size of your list. And they kind of just use it to send out maybe a monthly newsletter or something like that. So it's kind of doesn't really get used. But the sad thing, of course, is that they have a contact list that they're not really engaging with, which is the key thing, I think. The tool is one thing, but like we mentioned earlier, that building those human connections is really important.
I always love it when I hear people say, oh, you know, Infusionsoft or Salesforce or whatever, it's expensive. I'm like, well, compared to doing nothing, it's really cheap. And it's nothing wrong with platforms like MailChimp or anything like that out there. They serve a purpose. They're great. But, you know, it's not a CRM. I know for the most part of our business, we can collect leads, manage a contact, manage the entire sales process, take payment, follow up, fulfill everything leveraging Infusionsoft. And for something that costs you like, you know, $6,000-$7,000 a year or whatever, I think it's cheap as. So I'm like, geez, you know. So I think it's just a lot of people are uneducated around the CRM space. And I think that's the challenge. They don't know what there's so many out there, and they don't know what to look for, and how it's going to be, you know, effective. They don't have the strategy. They jump in without the strategy, and they try and implement from, you know, from gut feel, or, oh, that's working for that person, so it should work for me.
Yeah, I think that's a really valid point. So if you are looking for a good CRM, then evaluate your own needs first. Check out, you know, what sort of environment are you operating in? What do you want to build? How do you want it to look? And then evaluate the different offerings, because Infusionsoft certainly is one really good one, but there are other good ones out there as well.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
All right, what's the best way to keep a client on track? You mentioned earlier about a lot of people take the training courses but don't implement.
Yeah. Oh, I can't tell you how much of a bugbearer that is. For me, I'm just like, you've invested money and you haven't done anything. Ah. And then you blame everyone else for your own fault. So for me, the best way to keep clients or projects and everything on track, we use a couple of different tools and a couple of different methods here. So all of our like private clients in the direct messaging side of the business, we have monthly check-in calls with them, so we're constantly scheduling calls, and we'll do those via Zoom with clear outcomes. And then off the back of those meetings, we use Infusionsoft to, you know, trigger what needs to be followed up. But from a team perspective, because, you know, I'm very grateful and thankful that I have a team in place, and, you know, we've invested time, energy, effort, and to continue to upskill them. We use Workplace by Facebook. And we link that with Google Drive. So most of our client, like, we use Google Suite. So we've got very clear, systemized client folders and a very structured process of what we do for clients each and every day that we're acting on their accounts. So it's very, just the communication between the team and then there for the client as well is the critical thing. That communication piece needs to be solid or it all breaks down.
That's great advice. How are you finding Workplace by Facebook? I sort of saw that when they launched it, and I thought, that was the time, as I said earlier, where I was starting to worry about Facebook being so noisy, and I thought, I'm not sure I want to be on the Facebook platform all day. I want to actually turn it off. So we use Slack.
I actually really love it. Like the team and I love it. It's sort of trying to think the best way to explain it. It's sort of like a combination between sort of a Slack, a Twitter, and a Facebook. If that makes sense. So we've got different channels. So even though our team's, you know, small, we're only got five on the team, from that aspect, not everybody's in the in all channels, for example. So if it's an operational discussion about particular client accounts, you know, it's only going to our team that work on client accounts. If it's more recruiting, it only goes to the team that recruits. So myself and my Camille, who's our ops manager over there. So you're able to the ability to do that. But we use the chat function on that, and because it directly integrates as well with Google and a bunch of other things, you know, it's great. We're able to it's one of those things. I think it's such a personal preference. Like I've got other colleagues that just, you know, love Trello, and they, you know, they're just on Trello all day every day with their team and the clients, and it works really well for them. But it's, don't get me wrong, it's an amazing platform, but it drives me insane that personally, like going through like the individual project setups and things like that, it's just not who or how my brain operates. So I'll check that out, but you've just got to find the one that's right for you, and making sure that the usability through the group is, you know, it's got to be there. If not everyone's on board, that's when it falls apart.
Yeah, that's an important point. It's less about the tool, but
how you use it and getting everybody on board to do the right things. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I would love to just be able to put everything in Infusionsoft personally. but, you know, we've got to have different tools for different things.
Platform to rule them all. That's my vision as well. But yeah, yeah. The magic pill.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I spend a dollar and then people pay me millions, you know. It's just marketing works that way, doesn't it? Yeah.
All right. What's the number one thing you think anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
This is going to sound really corny, but you need to be authentic. And that, like, without a doubt, because there is so much in the whole world of you've got to be authentic. There's so many people that are just completely inauthentic out there. And particularly when it comes to your marketing, it shows massively. The amount of people that try and, you know, Gary V's come out and he swears every second, you know, on his videos. So the amount of business owners that come out and all of a sudden they just swear every second on their video. And you've got to hustle and this. And there's nothing wrong with Gary Vee or anything like that. I'm just using that as an example. But you've got to be you. That's the big thing. And secondly to that, if your focus is to serve everybody, you serve no one. Yeah, we've all probably heard that saying before. Don't ask me who said it. But, you know, you've really got to find your niche. Find what you're great at. And just go... Be okay with being sort of dumb and boring and focus on that thing. You know, for me, it's all about how can we go and turn conversations into cash, and LinkedIn's been the platform that we've mastered to do that. And that's why we're able to, you know, work with multiple different business people and different niches and industries, but leveraging those same philosophies and those same processes in order to generate those outcomes. But it is really dumb and boring. I do the same thing every day. It's what we do. We reach out, we connect with people. We put messages in front of them to kickstart a conversation. We take that conversation offline to have a Zoom meeting or whatever it might be and put them into our sales pipeline. And then they're either going to buy or they're not going to buy. You know, that's it. And then we learn from that. What worked, what didn't work. And it's okay.
I think the focusing on a niche is a really important aspect there, and also being, you know, so focused that you're really doing your target audience a favor by being the best you can be at what you do, and also being yourself and how you do it. So not trying to copy somebody else. No, great as Gary Vee is, but he's unique, and so, you know, somebody else trying to copy his style. Usually doesn't work.
He does extremely well because he's him.
That's right.
That's it. You be you. It's great. Mm. Yeah,
I think that's the learning by modeling from Gary Vee, is not to be Gary Vee, is to be you. All right. Well, thanks, John. This is absolutely fabulous. I've really enjoyed this again, this conversation, and we have to do it more often than once every 3 or 4 years, however long it was. Now, where can people reach out and find out more about you and even say thank you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And connect on LinkedIn as well.
I mean, the obvious solution is definitely, you know, if we're not connected already, you can jump on LinkedIn. So the direct URL is linkedin.com/IN/John Bellamy, Bellamy, or just search John Bellamy on LinkedIn. Definitely do that. And, you know, what we've also done, Jürgen, as well, for anybody who would like to, I mean, we've spoken quite a lot about LinkedIn and the LinkedIn profile and stuff like that today. If anyone would like to grab some free resources from us, so we've got a bunch of videos, templates, and everything that will actually help you with your LinkedIn journey, help you go and, you know, ultimately go and turn more conversations into cash, you know, you can go to directmessaging.com/buzz. So that's direct, D-I-R-E-C-T, messaging, M-S-G, so messaging for short, MSGING.com/buzz. And I'm assuming you'll have the links there for them to go check that out, Jürgen.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's been great being on the call.
Yes, we'll have the links on the show notes to for people to click right through and check you out on LinkedIn and for those resources, which I really appreciate that. So, John, what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in innovation and in their field?
One piece of advice. Really focus on one thing. Like, we can all try and do so many different things out there, but just focus on one and give it all your attention.
That's really great advice. And I know from my own personal experience, I mean, having gone through a corporate career and learned a lot of things during that time, there's a lot of things I can do and add value to, but and also I love variety. So I tend to fall into that trap of one day I'll do this and one day I'll do that. And every time I discipline myself and say, okay, I'm going to focus on this and really dedicate my energy to that, it actually has the opposite effect that, you know, you might intuitively expect, and that's that my business actually grows.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's definitely let folks, and like on that as well, you can have different interests. Like, for example, we've got other interests outside of what we do with LinkedIn from a commercial business perspective, but we still focus on that one thing, which is reaching out, connecting, like our process, the reach out, connecting with people and all of that. It's just doing it under a different entity. So it's when you try and do multiple different things to multiple different people it's when the confusion comes in and the confused mind says no. So, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, so just focus on that one thing and you know, put it all in and should be onto a winner. If not, start again. You know, you got time.
Great. All right. Well, finally then, who would you like me to interview on a future InnovaBuzz podcast and why?
Yeah, I think it'd be great to interview Mark Robinson from the International Academy of Wealth. So I think he'd be a great person to jump on there. Mark, when it comes to like investment education, you know, there's a lot of people that focus on, you know, just property or just shares or just this. Mark's done an amazing job of really aggregating opportunities and investment knowledge from a bunch of different outlets, and like some of the investments that come across our desk, I'm a part of that community, are just ridiculous. You sit there and you go, you can make money from what now? It's absolutely crazy, and they're constantly innovating the way that they bring those opportunities to their marketplace, and innovating the way that us as humans can really, you know, make, you know, our active income or our laptop income or even our passive investment income. I think that'd be quite an insightful conversation with Mark.
All right. Well, thanks for that, John. We'll reach out to Mark and get him on the podcast and find out more about his innovative investment strategy and how he teaches that to people. So much for sharing your time and your insights with us again. I've really enjoyed this immensely today and learned a lot about follow-up and, you know, strategies around using LinkedIn, leveraging LinkedIn to use as a marketing platform. And I hope that the listener will get a lot out of this as well. So all the best for the future, John, and let's keep in touch and let's not make it 4 years before the next conversation on the podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks again for having me, Ian. Really appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed that insightful and engaging conversation with John and took something away from his episode. He shared some wonderful tips about the five key parts of your LinkedIn profile, how to show you care about your ideal clients, to start a conversation with them, and why you might want to use Sales Navigator. I'd love to know what you took away from John's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which can be found at innovabiz.co/John Bellamy. That is JohnBellamy. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/John Bellamy. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with John there, as well as links to the direct messaging website, John's own site, his social media pages, and his offer of the training material and other resources that we spoke about in the conversation. John suggested we speak with Mark Robinson from the International Academy of Wealth on a future InnovaBuzz podcast. So, Mark, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of John Bellamy. Remember to check out our Marketing Master mini class at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. It's completely free and accessible even without giving away your email. In less than 30 minutes, you'll gain clarity about your ideal client and how you can communicate with them to build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship. And if you'd like our help to go even deeper into marketing mastery or help with podcast production, then send me an email to jurgen@innovabiz.co and we'll set up a quick call to see if we are a good fit for one another. Tune in again next week to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we've got more fantastic guests lined up, including Tony D'Urso of The Tony D'Urso Show and David Smulders of BitQ. Stay connected with us by subscribing to the InnovaBuzz podcast at innovabuzz.com/subscribe. innovabuzz.com/subscribe. Make sure you never miss another episode. It would also mean a lot to me if you leave us a review, because what you think matters. I'd love to hear your thoughts, your ideas, your suggestions, or questions you have, so go ahead and share them in the comments below the blog post for this episode. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.